This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Hey, the countdown is on for the NFL's first Super Bowl in Las Vegas, and it has plenty of fascinating storylines leading up to the big game. Welcome back to Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell, and we are powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average. And we are thrilled to show up at the phone lines and welcome in our next guest, and that is Bob Iback from NECO Sports, who is here to provide his insight on Super Bowl 58. And you can get into the game and take home a Super Bowl football if your team wins. We're excited to have him on to commemorate the moment with a limited edition football that is available for purchase. Bob, thank you so much for joining us on this very big weekend.
Well, Elissa, thank you so much for having me on as a guest. I spent many years covering the Super Bowl over the years. I think I've been out to 17 of the football Super Bowl experiences in my lifetime, going all the way back to the early 70s when I covered the NFL in Baltimore for the Baltimore Evening Sun. I covered the Redskins and the Colts in those days, and I've certainly kept on top of things over the years. And this is I'm looking forward to a really classic game coming up on Sunday. I think these two teams are evenly matched. I do think there's a little bit of favoring toward Kansas City, only because Andy Reid's team with Mahomes and Kelce, they've been this route before. And I know that having been out to Radio Row in, like in this case, Las Vegas and other sites, it can get pretty confusing and overwhelming leading up to the game. And if you don't stay on track, you can get sidelined a little bit.
You know, Bob, you're favoring the Chiefs, but it's interesting because Super Bowl odds have the NFC champion, the 49ers, as this year's favorite. Was that a bit surprising?
Well, yeah, well, not really. I mean, you know, Purdy's done a great job there, and their coach has, and McCaffrey is an amazing running back, and I don't take anything away from those guys. I personally favor the Chiefs, and I think it's going to be a 3 to 6 point game spread because, again, Mahomes and Kelce and some of the other guys on the team, and of course Andy Reid, they've been through this drill before. They won the Super Bowl last year. They won back in 2019. And when you've been out there before, you know how to pace yourself during the week with all the practices and the media appointments and everything else. It can really overwhelm you. I mean, I've been on Radio Row. I've seen all the press conferences, and you're exhausted. And if you haven't been through this before, it can tire you out before you reach the game.
You know, we were talking about this in Hour 1 with legendary coach Dick Vermeil, and I was asking him, you know, if the Chiefs have a competitive advantage psychologically, because as you're talking about, Bob, they have been here before. They've been through that car wash and just all the demands with Super Bowl. I mean, it can be overwhelming.
It sure can. I have a good friend, Marv Levy, who took Buffalo Bills in the 90s to four consecutive
Super Bowls.
Yes. He's a great guy. I helped him publicize his book, Between the Lies, a fictional book that he wrote about 10 years ago, and I took him out to one of the Super Bowl Radio Rows. He was in his early 80s, and I think he's 98 now, he got on in 2 days. He was amazing. He went on over 45 radio interviews in 2 days, and he couldn't. He says, "Bob, give me more. Give me more." he was amazing. And I had lunch at one time with Troy Aikman with Marv, and Troy said, and something always stuck with me: the fact that the Bills went on and they played four Super Bowls and they lost all four. Troy said, "You know what? That's more difficult than the two that the Cowboys won under when he was there in the 90s. He said, because how do you get your team up year after year after year after year when you get to the Super Bowl and you lose each time? He says, that's an amazing coaching feat.
Do you have a favorite Marv Levy-ism, like where in the world would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, that's my favorite. You know, he's such a sweet guy. It just he's amazing, and he's so down to earth, and he's so talented. I mean, he wrote Between the Lies, a fictional book. He wrote it himself. He didn't have a ghostwriter or anybody else. But Marv is just great. I mean, he's always upbeat. He owns part of a restaurant in downtown Chicago, Harry Carey's restaurant, and he's one of the partners in that thing. And I've had some dinners with him and his wife down there. Just an amazing guy. I mean, you leave after you've been around Marv for a couple hours, and you feel better about the day.
Hey, we're getting you ready for Super Bowl 58 from Nico Sports. That is Bob Iback is with us here at Sports Map Radio Network. Just a couple more questions as we get ready for the big game. And let's talk about quarterback Patrick Mahomes and the underdog Kansas City Chiefs as they are aiming to become the first repeat champion in 19 years, trying to solidify their claim to be a dynasty with a Super Bowl title in 5 years. So do you believe that just the Chiefs, that they have that competitive advantage?
Well, I don't ever go against Mahomes. He's a magician back there. He reminds me back when I was covering the NFL in the 70s, Fran Tarkenton was with the Vikings. And just be able, he could improvise on the run, literally on the run, and do some great things. Now, the Vikings never won the Super Bowl, but he took them pretty close. And Mahomes seems to, he never panics. And he knows how to go ahead and march downfield in the last 2 minutes. He's a very smart quarterback, and he knows how to run the clock and do things toward the end of the game. So I think this thing could be decided by a field goal. And if Kansas City has the ball in their hands with 2 minutes to go and if the game is tied or whatever, I feel really good about them going ahead and winning this game.
Well, in celebration of Super Bowl 58, we'd love for you to share with our audience. You have some footballs commemorating the big game. What does our listening audience, what do they need to know?
Well, this is kind of cool. I'll describe both of the football.
Okay.
You can get the Super Bowl football for the Chiefs right away because it's an appearance ball as well as the Super Bowl 58 logo on there. And then I'll go ahead and tell you what you can do with the 49ers football. But on the Chiefs football, it's a limited edition, only 5,000 made. Part of the proceeds is going to help CASO, which is a very interesting group that the Kansas City Chiefs organization is affiliated with. It stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates, and they help out with youngsters who are abused or neglected. So we'll be promoting this football that costs $119.95 each. Portion of the proceeds will go there. You can go, only 5,000 of these will ever be made. They sell out every year. You get a number certificate of authenticity. Everything on the various panels of the football are embossed, and we'll have the season schedule laid out there for Kansas City, all the scores, the opponents, and dates on one part of the panel. Another panel has stadium history, the Super Bowl official logo in Roman numerals, the AFC title logo, and championship history for the franchise. And then the third panel's got some two action shots on there, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. First time ever that those two players have been on the same football. And if folks want to go ahead and order those, and I do caution people, last year these things sold out, so I would do it pretty soon. The toll-free number for that is 1-800-345-2868, 1-800-345-2868, or check them out online at the website nicosports.com, nicosports.com. That's nicosports.com. And I do want to point out, Nico Sports has raised over $3.2 million for children's charities just in the last 6 years. So we're looking forward to doing a lot of good work with CASA on this project. Now, for 49er fans, and I don't want to go ahead and diss them,
yeah.
we're going to have a 49ers Super Bowl football, but only if they win. And but you can line up and get ready to, you know, go ahead and order these on an if-win basis. There again, $119.95. You'll get the same letter of authenticity with it. Everything is embossed, and you'll have the same kind of outlay, all the 49er games on a various panel. The cool thing is we have Brock Purdy, his image, and Christian McCaffrey, his image, on the same panel, on that third panel. So get ready, because, you know, the 49ers have a good chance of winning this thing. It'll be their sixth ever in franchise history and first since 1994. And again, you can go ahead and order on an if basis. When you call that number, it's 800-345-2868, or just go to the website, nicosports.com, nicosports.com. All that information will be put up there moments after the Super Bowl game on Sunday ends.
Our very special guest is Bob Iback with Nico Sports. You are actually, we were talking off air, former sports writer and broadcaster. You've covered the NFL for more than 15 seasons. How did you team up with Nico Sports?
Well, you know, when I started my own company in 1995, I got a call from their owner. At that time, it was Joy Bittner. Her husband, Craig Bittner, have still run the company for some 30 years. And they were looking for somebody that could help them publicize some of their memorabilia things. And I mentioned in talking to Joy, I said, you know, why don't you give me a chance? I'm working on something. I did a lot of work with Michael Jordan and his foundation.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Michael from his years with the Bulls. And I said, you know, they're coming out with a Michael Jordan basketball, limited edition. And I said, if we tie it in with a charity, I think we could do some work and help you move some of those footballs for the charity. So I think she was a little hesitant, but she said, I got nothing to lose. Let me let you try. Well, I got the information in the newspaper the next day in the Chicago Tribune. I then proceeded to go on some radio shows and a couple TV shows to promote it. And we sold out all 5,000 basketballs in 3 days. And she called me back. She says,
wow.
I've got to meet you.
Hey, Bob, we are up against the clock. We want you to connect with our audience. One more time, share with all of our listening audience where they can go and pick up this commemorative football.
Sure. Either for Kansas City or San Francisco,
yep.
The toll-free number is 1-800-345-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. The footballs are priced at just $119.95, whether it be Kansas City or San Francisco, whoever wins the game. And you do the same thing for the 49ers. That'll be posted on the website moments after the game is over on Sunday night.
Hey, good stuff. Bob Iback has been our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. Enjoy the big game, and we look forward to another conversation real soon. You take care, Bob.
Okay, Alyssa, listen, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the game,
yeah.
And thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Super Bowl 58 coverage continues in just a moment.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue our Super Bowl 58 preview. Looking forward to one of the most watched annual sporting events in the world, as it will be broadcast in over 130 countries and in more than 30 languages. In fact, here in the U.S., it is the most watched television telecast each and every year. And did you know, 30-second Super Bowl ads are going for $7 million. And in celebration of the big game, all the festivities, we have invited back to our program. He is an author, football historian, Greg Fossery, who has just released his new book. It is titled Gridiron Legacy, Pro Football's Missing Origin Story. Hello, Greg. It has been a very big week. You are in Las Vegas. And before we highlight this unprecedented and history-changing book that you released, what's your experience been like just over this past week and on Media Row?
Oh, it's incredible. It's not an easy thing to get a ticket or a pass to Media Row these days. So I was fortunate to have a couple invitations and be able to go 2 days. But everybody's been so receptive. I'm so thrilled, both on the media side and the players. I just kind of worked the room and bumped into people like Dan Marino and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, Boomer.
Yeah, there you go. Cam Hayward won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. 2 days ago. So that's, it's been a thrill. Everybody is surprised that when I pop the question to them, the most basic pro football history question, where did pro football start? And they realize they don't know. The answer is Pittsburgh, where I grew up. That's an icebreaker. So we go from there.
Is this your first Media Bowl experience? And just kind of talk about the hype in the house. And what is everybody saying in terms of, I know the 49ers are favored to win this year's Super Bowl, but everybody I'm talking to, they're talking about the Chiefs.
I am feeling the Chiefs' love out here, too. I think everybody feels like it's predestined with everything that would do for the marketing machine with Taylor and Travis and everything. So, I think the Chiefs vibe, they're just a happy group of people. Even on Media Row, I had the pleasure to meet and give a book to the Hunt family through Tavia and Gracie Hunt.
Wow.
Gracie being the daughter. So, they're just delightful people, really.
Hey, Greg Fossery is our very special guest, Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, author of Gridiron Legacy, Pro Football's Missing Origin Story. We're going to talk about that. And just, you know, the one thing about your book is, I would say, the rich football history. It has never been shared before. How did this get lost?
That's a great question. It's speculation, ultimately, but there was a scandalous episode that happened at the end of the first era of the professional football. They called it the pre-NFL era. And just as it was taking off for the first time, there was a Black Sox-type alleged gambling scandal where I heard from my grandmother growing up that my great-grandfather, Bob Schiering, who was the captain of the world champion professional Massillon Tigers in Massillon, Ohio, was offered a bribe by a gambler, actually initially someone on his team that had gambling connections, with a $50,000 pool, which would be over $1 million today, to share with his team anybody who would help him rig the outcome of the championship two-game series with the Canton Bulldogs. And my grandma told me he would not do it, and he was honored for reporting it and ultimately defusing it. But just the fallout from that and the rumors ended pro football in 1906 for about 10 years.
You know, Greg, this is your second time on the program, and I just we haven't had a chance to visit about this, but what has been the feedback and just the response from the football world?
I think surprise is the best word. They just, it's eye-opening. Jim Nance, actually, is a delightful guy. Met him first in Atlanta a couple months ago when he was doing the PGA, and I gave him a book there, and I ran into him here again. I said, "Hey, Jim, how's it going? I hope you took the book home from the party where we met." He said, "Oh, Greg," he gave me a really heartfelt handshake and said, "Great job." He said, "I love the book. It's on my coffee table. Why hasn't this been done before?" And so I think people are get it, or the ones that get it really get it and know how important this is to establishing the history, the foundation for what's become our biggest sport. So what a great thing for me to have fallen into my lap.
You were listening to the voice, author of Gridiron Legacy, Greg Fossery, with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And you just share from Jim Nance and just some of the feedback, the response from the football world. But what are some of the next steps in your project's journey? And what else are you working on, Greg?
So much. For starters, since it's a big coffee table book,
it is.
It's not portable. So it's a sort of a museum, you know, display piece, as well as having great photos and a great story. But a lot of people say, "Hey, you know, I can't take this with me home from Radio Row. Will you send it to me?" And I think a lot of people would like to be able to take it to the plane, you know, or the beach. So got a paperback version coming this coming fall. And from there, just to try to reach as many people as possible with the story, I'm going on a speaking tour and going to do corporate speaking events or universities. I met Amon Green out here, who's the Packers' all-time leading rusher. Professor at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And he said he wants to have me come to Nebraska and speak to the sports history people. And so that'll be a great place to start with that and figure out how to make it all work. Ultimately, the biggest dream is to get our miniseries sold. We have a 6-part, 1-hour each episode miniseries currently titled Massillon, and we're pitching it to studios, production companies that might want to run with it, including Tom Brady. It's called The Religion of Sports, and we've spoken with them a couple times now, and they are very interested. So that's the big dream.
The title of the book is Gridiron Legacy, as Greg just mentioned, paperback version coming this fall, ebook and audiobook next year. And that would be super cool if you did get a 6-part miniseries that you are pitching to sell. But share a little bit more about the book and what are some of the things that make it unique. Give us the top three.
Top three. Well, my great-grandfather's photo collection was the initial inspiration. When my grandmother died in 2007, I discovered this big treasure trove of football history in her home. I knew she had a few pictures on display, but I didn't know this massive, you know, collection of over 100 photos in great condition were stored away somewhere. So ended up taking those to the Hall of Fame, and they were flabbergasted and said, you know, you have what to us is the original Constitution here. Wow. So you have a big opportunity to do a book if you can combine them with the story. And that led me to the second big thing, which was discovering the truth of that scandal that I mentioned and whether the players were complicit or not, whether the games were fixed. Specifically, the Canton captain, Blondie Wallace, who was accused by the Massillon newspaper of collusion in the scandal, and he always denied it. He sued the Massillon paper and team, which was my clue that there could be a court file somewhere, and because his case never got to court for unknown reasons. But after 2 years of drama that it was going to happen, it kind of fizzled. So he went down in history as a bad guy, and sort of like the shootless Joe Jackson of football. And I discovered the court file in a courthouse in Canton, Ohio, Stark County, that had the depositions from all of the people that were involved in one way or another in the case. So it solves the cold case, and it accompanies the pictures beautifully. The whole story just builds up to that sort of dramatic conclusion. And the last, sort of along the journey, the yellow brick road of this story, was my discovery of the first two known professional football championship trophies, sort of the Lombardi trophies before the NFL, in a old athletic club in Pittsburgh from the 1900 and 1901 seasons. And I just went, once I pieced together that was the place where his team played out of in Homestead, Pennsylvania, I ended up taking a tour of the place and asking a million annoying questions and got into their storage closet where they had these trophies. And one of them I had seen in a newspaper from 1901, and it looked like the Stanley Cup, the top of this big silver bowl. And I saw it on their shelf gathering dust. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is huge. And so from there, it went out to be displayed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in their rotunda, which is a round room and structured like a timeline. So the very first exhibit in the rotunda now holds that one of those trophies. So that's a big reward to the hero's journey, as the mythologist Joseph Campbell once said. There's always a reward.
Okay, enjoy Super Bowl 58. We look forward to connecting again here in 2024. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, powered by our good friends at Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive, they save nearly $700 on average. We are thrilled to have back with us Michael Lombardi. He is the former general manager, three-time Super Bowl-winning NFL executive after 30 years working for a number of teams, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Browns. And Michael, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be back. I appreciate you having me.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, and before we preview Super Bowl 58, you know what it takes to win at the highest level. As I just mentioned, three-time Super Bowl winning executive, you spent many years with the Patriots, and I think one of the biggest storylines that has been talked about this week and discussed is Bill Belichick, and that he was not hired in this cycle. So how surprising is it that he did not land a job?
I think it was really surprising. The fact is, you know, when you have a coach as great as this coach is, and to have him available and really only one team show any interest in him, kind of surprising, but it is partly the NFL. It's the collaborative mindset that goes into this, that people are intimidated by knowledge. They don't want somebody who's going to be overriding all the authority in the building. And I think, to me, you know, it's a sad commentary on the NFL that the greatest coach of all time isn't working because of everybody wants to be more collaborative than actually win.
Do you see a youth movement taking place in coaching right now in the NFL and kind of going away from that old school philosophy and approach to the game?
Well, you know, yes and no. I see teams trying to try it, but I see teams in the Super Bowl that don't have, they have an old school mentality, which mm-hmm. is credibility, which is accountability, work hard, demanding, get the players to play at a higher level. I think to me, that's always going to be the mindset. That's never going away. That's time immemorial. How to win in the NFL is not changing. Now, you know, how you get there, sometimes I think it may change, but for me, I think we have a little bit of a softer mentality in the NFL right now. We want, you know, the players kind of want to have a little bit of an NBA way with them. And I think there are some people that are willing to do that. However, that being said, the teams that have winning, they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. How has today's player changed, Michael?
Well, I think, obviously it comes down to, you know, we are in a world that is very eye-centric, you know, the art of creating team, the we, has become harder and harder because of the I. And so you have to do that. But I think at the end of the day, people really want, they want to have a team. They really want to have a team. And so I think, you know, when you see that and when you get players that want to buy into that, like Michigan did this year in college football, that right. was all about we. Mm-hmm. You know, and this year, I think the way Kansas City changed their offense, it's all about we. So that being said, it can definitely happen.
He is a three-time Super Bowl winner, former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi with us at Sports Map Radio. Give him a follow on X or Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL. And you've spent time around Bill Belichick. So what is it like to work with him? And it's just, as I said, we were talking about, I mean, it's surprising that he didn't get hired. You had, what, six vacancies in the NFL. How in the world did this happen?
Well, he's one of the best people to ever work with because you'll learn the most football from him.
Sure.
Because he's really smart at football and he understands the game and he gets it. And so I think for me, I learned so much from him, from Al Davis and those people. So it was a great learning experience and a great working experience. And, you know, he's receptive to ideas. He's receptive to being challenged. He wants to hear what could help us win, because at the end of the day, he's about winning. He's not about who's in control.
Mm-hmm. Well, another coach we've got to talk about, you just touched on Michigan, and that is Jim Harbaugh, as he was officially introduced as the new head coach of the Chargers, a 5-year, $90 million contract. Talk to me, Michael. I mean, what are your expectations for him in year one?
Well, I think it's really a great situation for him because he really is the perfect fit for what they have to do. He's the perfect fit. I mean, he is tough. He's physically and mentally tough. He's competitive. And those are the two things the Chargers really were lacking in. And I think he's going to make them a much better team.
And listening at his press conference, I mean, what stood out? What were some of those takeaways?
Just that. I mean, he understands how to build a team. He always has. He accepts the challenge, and he's got competitive stamina. He's never going to stop working. He's never going to stop trying to compete, and that's going to transcend a team that really struggled to win close games last year.
And so what do you think is that top priority for him in year one when you talk about changing that culture?
Making the team tougher, having more detail, the fundamentals, techniques, making it harder on the players. Practice execution has to become game reality, and I think that's ultimately what he'll do.
Hey, we're going to get you ready for Super Bowl 58, going one-on-one with Michael Lombardi, former NFL general manager, three-time Super Bowl winner. And you know what it takes for the regular season success and for that to carry over into postseason play. So what is that key? Can you kind of share that for our listeners?
Well, I think the key to success in any playoff game is being able to convert the third and shorts into first downs, right? Mm-hmm. Third and one, fourth and one, get them into first downs. And ultimately, that's always going to decide the game. Who can do that is really the key.
And as we look into the Michael Lombardi crystal ball, how do you see this one playing out with the Chiefs and the 49ers? Because the Super Bowl odds have NFC champion, the 49ers, as this year's favorite.
Well, I think the Chiefs are playing the better football right now, and I think they're hard to move away from. I think they're really good, and I think they've done a great job of adapting their team to what they have to do and understanding how they have to win. So I'm leaning towards the Chiefs. I still have another few days before I have to pick the game.
Yeah.
So I'll stay Chiefs here. I'm leaning towards the Chiefs right now.
Well, and you can certainly understand why, because what Patrick Mahomes, he's playing his best football right now and will make his fourth Super Bowl start in Las Vegas, the most of any quarterback before the age of 30. Will he eventually be the greatest of all time? Just kind of quantify just what he has been able to accomplish in such a short period of time, Michael.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's remarkable, right, how he did it. Like Brady, they kind of – great players have a tendency to become great quickly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And he's going to continue being great because he's selfless. He wants to win more than anything.
And when you evaluate talent, I mean, what did you anticipate that he would be this good when we think back to his days in Lubbock, Texas, at Texas Tech?
I mean, obviously Brett Veach saw him that way. You know, I was kind of falling all over head over heels with Deshaun Watson. So he was You know, he obviously set the stage, so it's been great. I mean, look, that's the great skill about scouting, is to be able to project the player forward.
Well, we hit on Mahomes. We got to get your take on Brock Purdy, and we've discussed it a lot right here in Hour 1. Why does it seem like everyone's kind of hesitate to fully celebrate and to fully embrace just what he has been able to do in only his second year as a starter? I mean, he's an amazing young man.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Everybody loves a great story, except for some reason they don't love the Purdy story. We all love success stories in America, but to me, I think it's remarkable. This kid has done everything that he's been asked to do, everything that people fall in love with. And so I don't know if it's people jealous because Trey Lance didn't get the job and the 49ers invested so much into him, but I think – it's pretty clear that, you know, he's done everything he's needed to do, and he's been great at doing it.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Michael Lombardi has been our very special guest, former NFL general manager, three-time Super Bowl winner. His second book was published just in 2023 in September, and he was on our program. So why don't you share for our listeners what they will find when they open it up? It is titled Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL.
Well, it's a book about how everything kind of started. It's a book about how the NFL was made, the coaching trees, the impact of television, the top 100 players. It's really a walk down. If you like history, it's a walk down a lane that hasn't really been talked enough about. And I think the players that have come before us, some of the great ones, I think it's truly important that we know who they are and we study them and respect them, and how this game became so great has a lot to do with a lot of those people I wrote about in the book.
You know, Michael, I say it's your second book, but your first book was The Gridiron Genius. I got to get a copy of this. It's a masterclass in winning championships and building dynasties in the NFL. What did you share?
Well, that book was really – I didn't really write that book. I lived that book. That book was my experience working with Coach Walsh, Coach Belichick, Al Davis, and all the great people that I learned leadership from. So that to me was what I really valued, and it's a football book, but it's a culture book in disguise. It's really a book about culture.
You have lived truly the ultimate journey. My final question for you is: how did you get your big break into the business? What's a little bit about your background you could share?
I always wanted to be in football, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. A scout came through and said Coach Walsh was looking for somebody to be an intern at the Gopher. And I was just a man for the job. So I got to learn at an early age. I said yes. I took a chance, and, you know, I followed my dream. I did exactly what Bruce Springsteen was singing to me on the radio. I was going to cross Highway 9.
The title of his book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and the History of the NFL. You can go anywhere online and get a copy. Always a true pleasure when we have the opportunity to catch up with Michael Lombardi. Give him a follow on social media at MLombardiNFL. True pleasure. Thank you, Michael, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show on this very big weekend. And we are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. And Super Bowl 58 radio coverage does continue. We are thrilled to have back with us Todd Ehrlich. He is the president, executive producer of T-Line Television and author of his brand new book. We're going to talk about that. And certainly, Todd, it's good to have you back on the program. Happy New Year. It's your first time on the show in 2024.
Well, you know, I'd like to be on the show in 2024, 2025, 2026. I mean, we're two years in a row. Let's keep it rolling.
Hey, let's keep it rolling. Well, you're rolling. Your latest release, it is titled The 20 Greatest Moments in New York Sports History, Our Generation of Memories from 1960 to Today. And we're looking forward to reliving so many big-time Super Bowl memories. And what comes to your mind when you talk about New York sports history?
So much comes to my mind, and especially this time of the year. I have four Super Bowls that are featured in the book, starting with Super Bowl III with Joe Namath.
Oh, yeah.
Super Bowl XXI, where Sims was famously 22 of 25. Super Bowl XXV, where O.J. Anderson predicted when he was in college that he'd be the MVP of the Super Bowl if it was played in the state of Florida. And then Super Bowl 42 with the helmet catch. And I've got really cool, fun stories from all of them. And I say it's dealer's choice, and you're the dealer since we're on the Big E Show. Which Super Bowl would you like to talk about?
Hey, let's lead off. Let's talk about Super Bowl III, talking about Joe Namath. 54 years ago, he's sitting by the pool in Miami guaranteeing the media that they would win, and they were the underdogs to the Colts. That's some serious confidence. What did you learn, and what did you share in your book about Super Joe Namath?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because that is one of the most famous pictures with him in a bathing suit surrounded by beat reporters.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit today with the way the amount of people and how media covers the teams. And what's also interesting is if somebody made a guarantee that was that seismic today, it would be on social media immediately, whereas it was under the fold back in Miami. But let me take it back a little bit and share that story. So the Jets are getting ready to play the Colts. They're 19-point underdogs. The AFL has not beaten the NFL yet, and the leagues had already said that they were going to merge. So there was a lot of pressure on the Jets, and they had felt really confident looking at the tape, despite being a 19-point underdog. And Weave Eubank, who was their coach, said, "Listen, no fodder. Do not bring up anything. No bulletin board material. Just be quiet." So Joe Namath, yes, was not one that was often quiet, was named the footballer of the year at the Touchdown Club in Miami on the Thursday night before the game. And so he went in. He didn't think he was going to have to give a speech. He thought he would get up. The guys got together. They had dinner with him, and he was going to get up, take his trophy, sit back down, and then continue on Friday to get ready for the game. Well, he steps up, and somebody in the back of the room screams, "Hey, Namath, we're going to kick your beep."
Mm-hmm.
And Namath goes, "Hey, wait a minute. You folks have been talking for 2 weeks now. We know you're big favorites, but I got news for you. We're going to win the game. I guarantee it." And what's great about that is he gets back to the table, and, you know, Matt D'Amato, Randy Rasmussen, Emerson Boozer, John Schmidt were all at the table, and they were like, "What did you do? You know, we've said not to say anything." And Joe looked at them all and said, "Well, don't you think we're going to win?" So John Schmidt said, "Well, we can't let Joe down. We better go out and win this thing." And what I found super interesting about it is when you think of Joe Namath, you think of the pantyhose, the fur coat,
oh yeah,
the partying late night, the brash predictions, right? Well, he said to me, "Look, I was raised by three older brothers, and I was taught you never, ever run your mouth. You never pat yourself on the shoulder." He goes, "But a little anger came out that day." And he said the other thing was, he obviously famously played for Bear Bryant at Alabama. His first meeting with Coach said, "If you think you can't, you won't." And Joe said to me, "Todd, that applies to everything in life." He goes, "Argue for your limitations and you can have them." I've never forgot that. If you think you can't, you won't. So he goes out thinking he can, and the Jets do. They beat the Colts, and then there's that other famous picture of him running off the field with his finger in the air, the number one finger. And I said, you know, Joe, that's, you know, you're taught not to brag, pat yourself on the back. He goes, you know, it was a little braggadocious of you. He goes, listen, Todd, man, that was pure emotion. He goes, I was running off the field. I looked up in the stands. I saw a whole section of Jet fans, and they're like giving me the number one thing. And I just said, yeah, we're number one. We're number one. And gave it back to him. So I found the whole thing interesting, sort of getting a view, a different view of Joe Namath and how that prediction came about. And who he was as a person. It was really cool getting to talk to him.
Hey, you're listening to The Voice. Todd Ehrlich is our very special guest. It's Sports Map Radio, the Big East Sports Show, author of his new book, The 20 Greatest Moments in New York Sports History, Our Generation of Memories from 1960 to Today. Just reliving Super Bowl III, Joe Namath's, his famous guarantee. But there have also been some big moments and memories with David Tyree when he made that helmet catch. Give us some play-by-play.
Well, I mean, you have a very sophisticated football audience, you know, big college football fans and pro fans. So they all know, anyone listening to the Big East show knows that the Friday practice before the Super Bowl is strictly dress rehearsal. That's all it is.
Right.
They're just, you know, buttoning stuff up. Well, Amani Toomer told me that David had a horrible practice. He said he couldn't catch a cold. He was dropping everything. And David Tyree told me it was the worst practice he ever had in his entire life being an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find this interesting, I hope. I found it super interesting. People think of Eli Manning as sort of mild-mannered, right? You know, not the fiery leader that, you know, an Elway might be seen as, right? Well, Eli went up to him after that practice and said, David, you're a gamer. I know you'll be ready. And he said that instilled a ton of confidence in him. And then Eli said to me, he goes, you know what? I trust my players. I believe in my players. He said, if I don't trust my players, I'm going to hesitate on everything. Now think about it. If he hesitated on throwing that ball over the middle, which is never a good idea in the Super Bowl, because as he told me, more than likely it can get deflected, then it's an interception. We never would have had the helmet catch. We never would have had the touchdown to Plaxico that put him up, and we never would have had the defensive stand, and the Patriots would have been the only 19-0 team in the history of the NFL. But he did trust Tyree. He did throw it up. Tyree did make the single most famous play in the history of the Super Bowl. So I said to David, I said, look, you know, dealing with athletes professionally for 40 years now, and one of the things I found out is when people are famous for something, fans always want to talk to him about it. So could you share with me anything that, any impact of the helmet catch or any impact that it had on anybody? And he said the most poignant moment was one fan came up to me and shared sadly that his grandfather was on his deathbed and they weren't expecting him to live even another month.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up living 6 months longer because in that fan's perspective, because of the joy that they shared
with
the family watching the helmet catch and their beloved Giants win a Super Bowl. And David said to me, even the perception that someone's time on earth was extended beyond expectation is humbling. He goes, it's really overwhelming to me. And that's the power of sports. And so when David told me that story, I'm like, you got to do the foreword for me. I mean, this is, it gives me the chills every time I recant that story. And it's one of, really, I mean, you have two boys, and it's really one of the main impetuses behind me writing this book. I wanted people all across the country because, you know, you've got your boys play golf. You got Tiger Woods in it. You've got tennis in it with Connors and Christine and Arthur Ashe. You've got Secretariat. You've got World Series. You've got Super Bowls. You've got Ali. You have national events that yes, were important to New York, but are nationally important. And I wrote this book so that families could all read a chapter one night, and then the next day discuss it at the dinner table.
Well, next time you're on the program, we'll have to have you share about the history of the Gatorade shower and the bath. The title of the book is The 20 Greatest Moments in New York Sports History, Our Generation of Memories from 1960 Today. We love when he's on the program. That is Todd Ehrlich. Todd, keep it coming. In 2024, we look forward to another conversation, and you enjoy the big game tomorrow, okay?
Oh, I'm going to. And thank you so much for the time and the ability to share. And, you know, any of your fans can go to Amazon right now or Barnes & Noble or where all books are sold to get the 20 greatest moments in New York sports history written by. Thank you so much for the time, Natalia. It means the world to me.
Todd Ehrlich, our very special guest that just joined us at Sports Map Radio Network. A big thank you to all of our guests in our lineup. Enjoy Super Bowl 58, and we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody.